Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 152. We are in the final week of the season. Well, I guess you can't even say that anymore because there's still more meets going on, but it is the week of the Diamond League final. So we're at that end point, and there's a lot of track action to talk about. Myself, I'm in London. We have Ollie in Zurich and George. Wow, George, where are you? That looks familiar.
The greatest place that greatest place coffee club law studio. Yep. The great, the one and only. Everything, man, everything still looks good down here. First visit in a while.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So we are across the world.
It's looking good.
But we will give you all our recaps, what's going on in our lives, and some previews of what's upcoming. Before we get into it, I do have a quick bean shout out from Richard at Pace Coffee. Gave us these beans, and they're from Gebre Selassie's. The beans are from Gebre Selassie's coffee farm, I believe. So it's pretty cool, and he wrote us a nice little note. So thank you very much, Richard, a former pro runner that now has a coffee brand, which isn't that just the dream right there? So thank you very much for that. Very excited to try these special beans.
I think Coffee Club should buy a coffee farm. I think that's like a no-brainer.
Invest in a coffee farm.
We'll get Tom. Which country?
That's a good question, actually.
Well, what beans do we usually like to drink? Like, we're medium roast boys.
We talk about Colombia a lot.
Central America, if we want. I feel like Central America would be the easiest if we wanted to go visit it. If we wanted to go to our farm, then like from the US, as opposed to Ethiopia, which is quite hard to get to.
Yeah, that's hard to get to.
Let's look into it.
I'm going to say Costa Rica. That's where we should buy a coffee farm.
Oh. Costa Rica?
That's just nice also based on like coolest country to visit.
That'd be so expensive though, but I'm sure Tom Wayne can finance it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a cool country.
Tom, get on.
All right, we'll work on that in the off season.
Sounds like a good little off season casual plan.
That's the dream. But, that's the dream right there.
Yeah, before we get into more of the track Gus action, we'll do a... Gus is back.
Hey, Gus. I forgot to bring real Gus, but Gus 2.0 is the best I can do.
So good.
He's a bit more cleaner.
He is. But do you want to start off, George, with a little check-in? I know you just got back home. Was it yesterday?
Yeah. George's week ended with me coming back to Boulder finally. Got in last night. Not too late, actually. Shit, I must have been awake for... When you come back to Europe, from Europe, it's like the easy time zone change, but it also means you have to just stay up for so long. From like 7 a.m. in Europe to like 10 p.m. here plus 8 hours is almost like a 24-hour day with no sleep. So it was a long run, and we got stuck in... Our flight got delayed in Chicago long enough to go visit the Bean. So that was kind of fun. Went to the Chicago Bean for the first time. It's actually pretty cool. Recommend visiting.
Is it a coffee bean?
I don't know what kind of bean it is.
Or is it soy like bean? A kidney bean? Soybean?
It's got some bend to it.
I don't know. It's silver. Yeah, it's like a nice curvy one. It's definitely not a coffee bean, actually. Definitely not a coffee bean. More like an edamame, maybe?
Yeah, kidney maybe bean. An edamame. Yeah, kidney bean.
I had a nice final week in Europe. Malta? Very random place. Never found Jordan Guzman. And just asked to come in from Sardinia. If anyone is wondering, I would recommend Sardinia over Malta. They're both like just islands out in the Mediterranean. Sardinia is obviously Italian, and the food's better. The beaches were better. It's just like nicer looking. Malta is just so random. It's like a brown rock just like floating, just like out there. And it just wasn't a whole lot to do. But that was just like the last stop before the last like beach stop in Europe. And I still had a good time and has some crazy history. Actually, it's like so old. And then I spent the weekend in Amsterdam, which is like one of my favorite spots in Europe. It's so freaking fun. My sister lives there. Just biked around for a few days. I know Ollie is a big fan of Amsterdam.
Red Light District.
I think I biked through it, but I didn't spend a lot of time in the Red Light District.
Boo. Have
you been to the Sex Museum there?
Yeah, I've been to a sex show there. I went to a sex show there when I was 18.
That's just weird.
It was a very jarring experience. I remember because you'd like, it was part of the Kentucky tour thing I was with. So everybody went and it was like married couples and like, because it was like a group of like 30 of us and like the ages were varying from 18 to like 35 or 40. And we all went as a group because the Kentucky tour paid for it and you get a box of popcorn and a beer and you sit there and like, I didn't expect it. And it was like, just very, it's pretty much what you hear when you hear a sex show, that's what it was. And it was just so uncomfortable. And people would just sit there and watch and have a beer and eat. And it was almost not like sexual. They're just watching it for amusement. It was insane. I was like, what the hell is this place? And then I went to the sex museum after that.
That's crazy that exists.
it's crazy it exists. Like people just go and pay for that. It's just wild. Amsterdam's wild. I love the canals. The canals are the best part.
Oh, it's beautiful. Eh? Just like, I must spend a few hours on the bike every day just biking around, seeing some nice spots. The coffee is so good there, but what's also misleading, you type in coffee shop, like you're not gonna find coffee.
Oh yeah. cafes,
there's no quotes. Coffee, but no, I think a cafe is where you drink coffee, and a coffee shop is where you don't drink coffee.
Right, so it was the other way around.
I don't know why it's like quite misleading that it's that way around. Coffee shop is just sweet, unless you can get both. Not actually sure. But it's a crazy city, and it was a nice few days to finish the Euro tour, which was like 5 weeks since the Olympics, since my race anyway, since I got back. So just kind of crazy that honestly, just like, I'm super grateful that I was able to have that like time. There's just not many times in our in being a professional runner that, you know, I'd be able to get to do that, like spend 5 weeks just traveling around Europe with Jenna, which was really special. And tried not to take it for granted that, you know, won't be able to do that again, hopefully, if I am not running as much as I was this year. So just like a really nice break from the sport and mental break, and now getting back into it. And the Gooch watch in the last week, not too much to report. Back in the gym this morning for some cross training and a bit of a lift, but lifting starting to feel pretty good on it. Got a doctor's appointment with our favorite doctor, Dr. Caballas, tomorrow, just to, I think, like check in how things are looking down there. I don't know.
No injections? No injections down there for you?
I don't know. I think he'll look and see if that's like going to help the healing process. That's like a good option before we get back into stuff. I'm quite scared of that happening. I mean, you guys have both had the adductor injection. That sounds not very enjoyable. Was it traumatic? What, should I be prepared? I don't think it'll happen tomorrow, even if I go.
You got to do what you got to do, you know? I think.
Is it traumatic?
It's more like the idea of it is traumatic.
It was traumatic for my mom.
Yeah, it's more like the idea and like watching. I think when you're getting it, it was traumatic for my mom.
She was watching it. Like, I think you and Morgan have like pretty good pain tolerances as well as I do. Like, some people obviously react to it differently. I know like Alicia's knee thing was like one of the most painful things ever for her, but she's like super tough, so it just depends. But I remember when I got the three injections, in my pelvis. I remember my mum was like over watching it because I couldn't drive home, and she looked like she had seen like someone getting decapitated. It was like she was like freaking out. She went white. So maybe don't bring Jenna or don't bring like anybody and just get an Uber or something. I don't know. Or just make them sit out front if they don't want to traumatize them. But I think you'd be fine. I would say
I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah, Cabalas always puts it as a term of like, if you want to throw the dish sink at it and just like do everything possible to help reduce inflammation, then it would work. But then I think there was no like given sign for my injury that it would actually help it, but I think it did in some ways. Maybe it worked too well and I got injured in the sacrum because I could just go back running pretty soon after, but who knows.
Well, I'll let us know what Coast Club Universe know next week whether injections were performed. But yeah, basically just go see if anything, how things are looking, and if I should do any, you know, final treatments before I start running in the next kind of week or maybe a couple of weeks. So just kind of playing it by ear. Yeah.
Nice.
That's good to watch for the week.
It's nice that you get to be back home.
It's still
now.
Hot here, though. Boulder's like, it still feels like, yeah, still feels like summer here. But I'm very excited for like September, October in Boulder. It's like the nicest time of year.
Dude, the fall is going to be unreal.
Yeah. We're going to live it up.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's all I got.
Before we get into Ollie, the main course, I'll just detail my past week, so since I went off to go race in Zagreb and Morgan, myself, I took a little side quest. I went to London for a few days to visit my friend Sam Strutt and just kind of hang out here. And so I've just been in full tourist mode. I've been line biking all around London, seeing all the sights. For example, today started off at St. Paul's Cathedral. Went to the museum, eating a lot of good, nice foods. Lots of foods that you can't really get back in Boulder, unfortunately. Good Indian food, good other types of Asian foods. And yeah, I got to do a little secret race. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Podium Underground, but the first night that I got here, so my friend works for Red Bull. So he was like, hey, I'm going to be at this event. If you want to come watch, I looked it up. And I had seen it on Instagram last year, I think, just briefly. And I looked at it and it was like a running race around a go-kart course. And I was like, well, if I'm going to go watch, like I may as well compete in it. So I hopped in. It was absolutely epic. It was madness, as you would expect for a race around a go-kart course. It was three races. Well, it was like heats, semis, and finals, kind of a knockout format. And it was just kind of crazy. It was so much fun. I was just trying to do my best, but just stay on my feet, not get hurt. Ended up coming second, got some nice little prize money to fund the trip, which was pretty cool. But yeah, it was just like a very fun little random thing to do. And so I had a good time out there. The next day, I actually went and watched the Super Try. I don't know if you guys saw, but the Super Try event was in London this past weekend. So that was my first time ever seeing one of those. And they're a pretty cool event. Like they do a good job with it, I will say, in terms of making the sport into something very entertaining. And I didn't even realize, George, can you tell me, do all of them have the format where you do swim, bike, run three times, or do they change it up?
They change it up.
Okay, that's what I thought.
100% sure.
I wasn't
sure
though.
I'm pretty sure some. Yeah. I think it's like some of them are like swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run, like three times or something. And then some, I swear, like some start with a run. I actually don't know. I'm pretty sure they change. But Hayden, did Hayden win that one?
So Hayden crushed it. Hayden crushed it. Alex Yee had a tough day. I'm not sure like what was going on with him exactly, but he was honestly pretty far back. He was pretty close to, because I think they were getting eliminated if they were 90 seconds back, and I think he was kind of flirting with that line. But I mean, he was a really good sport about it. Like in the end, he jogged it in and was like high-fiving with the crowd. I mean, a lot of them came out to see him. But Hayden was on.
Yeah.
He was very like getting after it serious. Matt Hauser came second, which was pretty sweet. But it was funny because it was at a location called Canary Wharfs. And when you turn up there, you're like, where the hell are they racing? Like, are they really doing a triathlon right here? Because it is such a small loop. The loop that they bike and run on, I think, was only 800 meters or 1K. And then the swim was only 300 meters. And so they go just 150 out, 150 back. And it's in like some seriously shitty looking water. Like the water looked absolutely terrible. I could not believe they were swimming in it. But yeah, needless to say, ended up being a very cool event to watch as a spectator for because of all that excitement. So I was happy to get to check that out. And yeah, I've just been taking it easy, doing a couple of runs, but nothing too much. Enjoying some time with my friend before I go back to Italia tomorrow. So that's kind of been it for me, just hanging out. Nothing much else going on.
Who beat you in this race?
So, oh, shit. I think his name is Tyler. And I didn't really know who was in it, but he was actually pretty good. He's like a 354 miler. But if I'm going to make some excuses, I think I could have given him a pretty good run. Like, I think I would have had a pretty decent chance at winning. But I went out really conservatively because the start line was only like 20 meters before a 90 degree right turn. And so the tactic was to just get out at the front, like just go as hard as you could to get to that turn at the front of the race. Because if you didn't, then you got shuffled really far back. And I just didn't want to do that because I'm like, well, if I get injured here, like I'm fucked. Like that'd be like the worst thing ever. So I like started back in the second line and got out a bit slower. And then like on the first lap, because it was five laps of the course, I look up like halfway through and I'm like 50 meters back. Like I'm so far back just because if you can imagine how dramatic the turns are, like a straight line forms and it's really hard to pass people. So if you are in 10th place, you just end up like shuffling really far back. So I started like pretty far back on the first couple laps and then I was just working through the field. And I was like, for a little bit, I thought I'd be able to get him, but then he was just too good. He just had like 20 meters or 30 meters on me at the end. But yeah, to his credit, he was a great runner. So definitely deserved the victory. Deserved the 1,000 pounds that he got. So yeah.
That 1,000 quid? That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I got 500. Yeah. I was happy with that. So
that is good.
Yeah, I'll nice. Take it. I'll take it.
That's it. So. You have to come like eighth in a no, you have to come like seventh in a diamond league to make that kind of money.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. That's kind of
depressing to think about, actually.
No.
That's really sad to think about.
No, Podium put on a cool event. Podium put on a cool event. They do a 5K. I think, well, maybe more than one 5K during the year. And Hagos Gebruet won their 5K in, it must have been March or April this year, randomly. So they do some cool stuff. And
I remember
this
that
is
one.
Just, yeah, a cool different event.
Like I saw that.
I was very happy to experience it. But yeah, that's London.
Nice.
Cool city. Very, very big, crazy city, I have to say. But very cool. So yeah. But the main meet was not Podium Underground this past week. It was the Zurich Diamond League, and we had our very own Oliver Hoare there competing in it, as well as a couple of our other teammates with Yared and Sigay in there as well. Ollie, how was the vibe out in Zurich?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It rained, I think, like on the day, which really pissed off Yared. He hates the rain. And he wanted to win the race. And he's like, if it rains, I'm not going to win. And it rained and he won. So he has no excuses with me anymore. Yeah, I mean, like you guys talking about, you know, the like this like a meal analogy, coffee club restaurant. You got the beautiful burrata and focaccia starter with George, a nice little truffle pasta with Morgs. And then you get to the steak with Ollie, you'd probably send it back. So not a great main course for you guys. But, yeah, I mean, I got off the plane 2 days before I had pre-meet and then the next day. Yeah, so I got off the plane 2 days before Zurich. So, I mean, I felt pretty good on the line. I felt pretty ready to go, but maybe there was some jet lag involved. I don't know. But I was sleeping a lot. I think I slept 11 hours the first night and about 10 to 11 hours the second night, and then took a nap for the race. So I was pretty much 24 hours of sleep in to recovery for Zurich. And the field was like pretty crazy. So it was expecting pretty crazy time, but it was supposed to be 149 through the 800. And then we got a message at pre-meet that it was going to be 152. And then they changed it again where it was going to be 151, but the third lap was going to be a 54 to go through in 45 maybe. So it was going to be like, you know, still really fast. But Jakob had stated that he was sick before, after his 7:17 in Silesia. So we weren't really sure what was going to happen. But my goal was to obviously try and, you know, get in a good position, try and shake off Lausanne and run a good race. That didn't happen. I felt pretty good, and amazing leading into it, like warm up, strides felt amazing, felt great, you know. And I've run really well in Zurich in the past. I was like, oh, this is going to be a really good race. Didn't have a great start. I kind of just then was going backwards the whole race. And I think, I don't know if it must be a mental thing, because my workouts and my overall feeling of running, like I feel extremely fit and feel ready to go, but I think I still have a bit of a mental hurdle to jump over. But I think just reassessing priorities and having a, you know, a good conversation about not avoiding what's going on in my last two races has been beneficial with me. But it's been pretty shite, and it's not usually what I'm known for. I'm usually a pretty good runner. I usually run like decently well in races. I usually like top three, or you know, in the middle there somewhere, competing, running 3:31. And I also won a Diamond League this year, so I thought, you know, maybe I'd be able to progress. But at this point in time, I'm not progressing. But I had a bit of self-reflection, and I realized that like maybe I just don't have the backbone that I usually have every year. Usually I'm training very hard in the fall. Usually have like some sort of indoor season. I didn't really have any of that, and I just went straight into racing and kind of not rushed it, but went into workouts and pretty much just raced myself into. I did an Adele Machau where I raced myself into kind of some sort of fitness. But I still feel really good. I had a workout today with Yard, and the past few days in Zurich have been fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I love Zurich. It's so nice. And yeah, I think I still believe that I can run really, really fast in Brussels, but I just need to cup it on the chin and try and just push through whatever's going on mentally. Cause I do feel like after the race, I just felt like, oh, like what am I doing? And I felt pretty shit. And I went to a corner, ran out of the stadium, went to a corner and just like, you know, let a bit of emotions out and just said like, what the hell is going on? And then I came back in and I had a really nice, really good chat with Dathan and Ray, my agent. And I kind of felt like a bit more, you know, centered mentally, and thought, okay, I just got to, you know, go one more race, just give it the best option, try and, you know, do some soft goals and hard goals. So a soft goal for Brussels is to run the standard, to try and be more competitive in the race. And then the hard goal is to obviously try and stick with the leaders and see if I can hold on for a quick time. But I was like, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, cool down. I started my cool down. I was running like 5:48 pace in the cool down. Bit annoyed, and then I see this figure just come up right next to me, and I was like, I really want to be left alone. I was about to tell this person to get stuffed, and it was Jakob. And he came up next to me, and he says, what are you doing, threshold? And I said, oh no, I'm just a bit annoyed about my race. And shout out to Jakob. He was very, very, he was very sweet. He was actually quite nice. You know, he was being very, very complimentary of me and how I've been as a runner the past couple of years, and said like, obviously I have not been the same runner this year, and you know, I just need to focus on the simple things and just keep going and keep progressing, and I'll be fine. And you know, hearing that from someone like him, who's very straightforward and also, you know, doesn't usually talk about other runners, was very, very sweet of him. So we had a nice long chat. We had a like a long cool down. Talked about a lot of things. Talked about his daughter. I asked him why he named his daughter Philippa. This like is a favoritism between Philip and Henrik, and he laughed and said that Henrik wanted Henrika in the middle name, but maybe the next baby might get a passing to his other brother. But yeah, we talked about cars. He talked about his hate for America, like traveling there and racing there. He said everything should just be in Europe. And he said everyone should just come and train in Norway. So he's like invited us all to Norway to train with
him.
Let's
do it.
Which I think would be pretty fun. And then he talked about obviously being sick and being a bit run down and still, you know, he said, I asked him like, oh, why'd you race if you're sick? He's like, oh no, I always turn up. He's like, why would I not turn up? You know, I was like, yeah, fair enough. I have respect for that. And then I asked him about Grand Slam and what he thought of it. And he said, for guys like us, he said, it's no good. He said, he's not interested. So I don't know if he's like, you know, you never say never with these things, but he might be a challenger. He might do the 3K, 5K or something like that, but he's not interested in doing it because he doesn't want to be in America at that time of year. He'd rather be training. And I think as well, he gets probably pretty good incentives from the Diamond League and appearance fees. So, which was interesting to hear him talk about it.
What did he mean by guys like us? What does that mean?
Like guys like 800, 1500 for him is like, I don't want to run an 800. You know, he'd said if it was like a 3K, 1500 grouping, he'd love it. But he'd said he might go as a challenger for the 3K, 5K, for example, and win 100 grand and then just leave. He said he likes the freedom of doing that because he would be a challenger. Like there would be no issue with getting that. But to be locked into a contract, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go to LA and doesn't want to go to New York. So, you know, as a European runner for him, like all his races are in Europe. All the big races are in Europe. Well, Olympics was in Paris. Like it's just so easy for, you know, and then he does a training block in Flagstaff, races Eugene, goes home. So if you see it through his perspective of that, it makes sense because he doesn't want to be staying in the US for that period of time. He wants to be back home training. And yeah, no, I think he didn't like the grouping of it. I think he just didn't like that it was 800, 1500. But the interesting thing that I was talking about is there's no 800 guys in the 1500 meter grouping. It's just 15 guys now. They might put an 800 guy in it. But yeah, we talked a bit about that. And then yeah, it was really nice conversation. It kind of made me feel better. So that was nice. And then obviously seeing Jared win. Jared's always, you know, very, very jovial and just, you know, always there. But this win in particular for him, he was very, very happy. He was talking about how he's like, this is a runner's high for him. Like he was so, so excited jumping around and his sister was there. And it was really lovely to see him win that because I think after obviously medaling at the Olympics, it's very hard to be like, okay, now I got to go race these guys again. And he raced them and raced them well and came out with the win. So, and that's the second time he's won in Zurich. So he owns Zurich now. That's what we've been saying. So he very deserved the win and it was pretty awesome to see. It's pretty excited for him. I think he's very excited for Brussels. He really wants to win that Diamond League final trophy. He doesn't really care about the money. He just wants the trophy really badly because it's a cool trophy, which I agree. I think it's a sick trophy. So yeah, it was amazing to see him win and I was really happy for him and that's the factor of it. Obviously, like, you know, my racing, the past races have not been good, but overall in a season, I can't define a whole year of the, you know, of what I've had to go progress through just off two races. I have to be more open-minded. And I think like for me, like I'm at a point where I'm mentally not exhausted, but I'm definitely very looking forward to just focusing on other things after Brussels. I think I'm just getting to a point where I can tell that I'm getting ready to race, excited to run that Brussels final, but I need to have a mental reset, I think, for 25 and for just getting into base training. So I'm excited for it. I'm gonna go and give it my best shot in Brussels. And like I was contemplating not running it, but like I earned my spot there and I think running the Diamond League final is like pretty amazing still in its own right. I mean, you know, every season that I've been able to compete in, besides the one I got injured in, I've been able to run the Diamond League final, and that's been a pretty cool record so far. So hopefully, you know, really go and crush it and run well. Speaking of Diamond League finals and ending this terrible main course, what do you guys think? Because we talked about last week when I think I remember there was announced that Sydney McLaughlin would run the 400, 200 at the Diamond League, and then the Diamond League CEO retracted that statement, said she's not qualified for the 400, 200, and then they put in separate 400 and 200s into the meet. So, like, how do you guys feel about that? Because it doesn't sound very productive to have the best woman in the world run against a separate field that's not in the Diamond League final. But then again, she's taken a spot away from, because she's taking a lane away. It's not like a 5K or a 1500 where, you know, it's a lot of people. It's an actual lane. So it makes it hard to, particularly she could have done Eugene. I mean, she just had to run one, I think, and she would have got the wild card from what I'm reading from the rules. So it is a very tricky thing to say. And then I saw Grand Slam track post, oh, don't worry, Sydney, you can compete in our thing. And then people were just roasting it, saying, yeah, because you pay her millions of dollars to compete, and it's all in America, mostly.
Okay, I got something to say about that.
I don't know. I wonder what your guys' thoughts about it.
Do you guys remember when, specifically to Grand Slam's post, when Kyle kept saying how, oh, we're not a competitor to the Diamond League, we're not a competitor to the Diamond League, and then they're pulling off like stuff like that? Like, come on. Just say they're your biggest competitor and you're trying to take them down because it's so obvious. But I think someone at the Diamond League must be getting fired because they clearly thought that she was going to be able to race and must be paying her, I imagine, a huge appearance fee. Like, do people still get paid appearance fees at the Diamond League final or not? I imagine she's getting paid to be there, and they thought that she was going to be able to get put in these races.
I think they're different. I'm sure they do.
Yeah. So
yeah. If you're not on the Diamond League schedule, fired. I don't think you get the appearance fee from the Diamond League.
But I think someone must have
thought. I think she might be getting an appearance fee. She was initially. Yeah, I agree. I think she like got in and got they agreed on the appearance fee, and now they're backed out, but they probably still have to pay her appearance fee and then add on these two other extra races. I think that's what's happened.
Who's she going to race? Just like some random locals?
some random Belgian people, I guess.
Belgian people, just seven, only Belgians.
Seven Belgians? The top seven Belgians and. And
she's going to race Mondo.
That's so sad.
That's the part I don't get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what you guys thought, because when we talked about it, we thought, oh, you know, it'd be good. She got the wildcard spots, and then all that kind of drama came out after it. And it's funny because it's very 50-50. It's not like one side or the other. People either this is the rules, like Sydney should have run a race, or other people are saying, you guys are idiots. This is the best runner around. She should be in it. So I'm curious to see, because I think if she should have known that that's the rules, but maybe she wasn't told them. I'm not sure. Maybe there's a part of ignorance, but I feel like it's unfair to the athletes that have competed all year to get those points, to get that spot, and then have it taken away by someone who hasn't competed in any of it. But if what they could have done is if they made it clear to her, maybe she would have. I'm not sure. So I was curious to see what you guys thought about it, because I remember when it came out, I was like, wow, this is interesting. Particularly with the Grand Slam comment. That comment was interesting.
Having two 200s and two 400s is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Because then they're just like, people are just going to be like comparing it the whole time. It's one of the things I don't like about Grand Slam is that there's two flat 400s and two flat 200s or something. Like yeah, two different groups.
Two different groups of the same.
Two flat 100s.
Two different groups from the same event. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's right. Two flat ones and two flat fours, which I don't like that part.
No, it's really sad because
we'll see if she runs faster than the field.
It does take away from it a lot. I at the time when I thought that she was getting put in the actual Diamond League field, I did feel bad for whoever maybe should have qualified in that spot. But I was excited to see her race against. I think we all were excited to see her race against the other best 200 and 400 meter women in the world. Like that was something that was very exciting. And so I think it's just such a shame that they clearly dropped the ball on this one. I put, I guess, most of the blame on the organizers who clearly messed this up. I think in an alternate reality where there was more transparency with the rules and maybe people knew that, hey, we're going to give a wild card spot in, like, we potentially will give a wild card spot in even these sprint events. So you're actually only safe in qualifying if you're in, let's say, the top seven, or, you know, like the field size minus one, so that they gave themselves leeway to do something cool like this. Like, I would actually understand that. I know that that is still annoying because she didn't really qualify for that spot, but it's still, you know, as long if there was a rule that and there was transparency around it, like, I would understand it. I'd be like, okay, I get it, because they're just trying to make it is special to see Sydney get to race against, you know, the best other sprinters in the world. It is something special, like, when and they're all in top form, or not all in top form, but they're all in, you know, really good form right now. So that would be really special. So it would have been cool if that could happen. And now I think, yeah, they're just, it's like, it's a lose-lose where, as you said, like, they're going to be comparing these two same races, and they're probably paying a shit ton of money to her, and it's just going to water down the event in a way. So, yeah, someone fucked up.
Yeah. They need to make the rules clearer in the Diamond League.
Ollie, did you go to the track on Thursday night to watch Mondo and Carsten?
Now,
you didn't?
Pre-meet. Come on.
It looks so
we
sick.
Could only use 100 meters of the track because Red Bull and Puma had set up all this shit, like, along the entire half of the track. It was more set up and more professional than the Diamond League. Like, it was just as a fact.
Did a great,
like, they
job
had
of
like
the
all these signs everywhere. It was insane. It was just everywhere. They had these special lane stuff. They had this massive tent with Red Bull, a massive tent with Puma. It was just insane. It looked like it was set up for like a world championship. It was insane. The amount of effort they put in, like, everything, the branding, everything. And then if that whole side of the stadium was full.
Yeah.
It was full. It looked everyone. So and it was all like top athletes all went, because they're all mates with Mondo and Carsten. And I was sitting down with Nina Kennedy and Budgie and Curtis Marshall at lunch. And Carsten, his coach, came and sit down with us. And his coach sat next to me. And we joked about his outfit, because he had said like fat instead. And he's like, oh, the S dropped off, because it's supposed to say fast.
Fat by choice.
He was just fat by choice. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, it's supposed to say fast by choice. But the S fell off. It's obviously fat by choice, but he was very, very funny. But Carsten, like, you think, oh, this guy's probably going to be like super, like, you know, cocky or arrogant. The nicest guy ever. So lovely. So nice. I could see everyone on the table, including me, just having a massive crush on him. He was so, so nice. And he was very, very, it was very funny to hear his perspective on it, because he's like, obviously, like, it was really big, and it was very successful. It was very, very successful. But you can't do that every year. And he's like saying that. He was like, yeah, this is like a one-off thing. Like, you can't replicate that with the personality. Maybe you can get like Shikari versus, like, I don't know, like maybe Mondo or like just a mix and match with something to kind of promote it if they're with the same brand, and you can kind of get that around it. But the way he talked about it was great. He said he actually really kind of almost hurt himself, so he might not finish the season. Because his arms or biceps, he said, were really like either tired or something happened to him when he was trying to sprint.
He tweaked his hamstring. He didn't compete the next day.
Yeah.
He didn't compete
the next day. Well, he has to wear Mondo's Swedish. He had to wear Mondo's Swedish jersey. Whoever lost had to wear the other person's jersey. So he lost. So he's like, yeah, I know. I'm not going to like get out of it. I have to wear it at something. So he was trying to figure out what he could wear it at. But yeah, he hurt himself.
The track. Like, he was just wearing
the track.
On the infield,
he did, yeah. But dude, it was pretty interesting to hear, and it was just super successful. Yeah, I mean, the Zurich Diamond Leagues also was insane. It was packed out. It was one of the most successful Diamond Leagues, like next to London. It's always full. It's always going crazy. Always at the biggest people there sometimes, and stuff like that. But seeing how successful that Mondo and Carsten thing was actually just, to me, kind of also proves that Europe has kind of done really well in marketing track and field compared to the US. I think the US needs to learn a little bit from Europe, because that little thing that they just did, like, was massive. It had all the little backstories. They had like filming, they had everything. And like, they did the pre, like before the race, like talking to them and stuff, and a little bit of banter. Like, in the US, like, you have a big meet and you just don't have that. Like, it's just way more successful. Like, I'm trying to think of how the US can do that. Maybe Grand Slam's going to do it, but it just shows you that Europe is like, track and field is a European sport in our time and in the time past. It's just a European sport. Like, it's just so, they just love it, and it's very, very successful, and they're massive. Like, Carsten and Mondo couldn't even like get out of like the track. They had to like have security and cars to get them in to get out. It was insane. It's just, it's massive. So, you know, and then people
we need
are
Red
like
Bull to sponsor the Diamond League instead of
yeah,
Honda.
It's massive, and then you're
imagine
like,
if Red Bull was a title sponsor. That'd be so
they
sick.
Could do such a good job. They did an amazing job with it. It was incredible. It is such a good job. And this is the thing, like Mondo, from what I've heard from people and Carsten too, like Mondo and Carsten can't walk down the street without getting harassed. Like, everyone just knows who they are and they're super nice. Like, I bet you a lot of track and field athletes, like the top ones, like Fred Kerley and Noah Lyles, they could walk through the street and they might get stopped a couple of times, but they wouldn't have the same issue as those two guys. Those guys are like massive. They're like superseded the sport. So it was pretty cool to see. I liked it. I thought it was good. It was good for the sport. Very good for the sport.
It was so cool.
America needs to do it.
And we picked the winner.
Yeah, yep. We picked the winners, Mondo.
I gotta give a shout out to America.
If America does that, it would just go viral.
Yeah, I don't know if it would work in America though. I think if you did that exact same event in America,
it's something similar though. Something that
it's
can
not
hype
working
up.
The same. Europe's just where track and field is at. Like, I think that's just
it's
it right
be
now.
Something. I know. It's just such a history to it. But America's got all the like some of the best people in the world though. Like, how do you? Yeah. I guess Grand Slam was going to do it, but
Grand Slam's going to try.
It's just
their
such
best.
A missed
we'll
opportunity
see.
Because America's where all the. Yeah, I guess we'll see.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, you already mentioned
it's like
the
just
big
the
Brussels
European
Diamond
city
League.
Helps so much. Sorry. I was saying like a European city makes it so much easier to host that kind of thing. Like just
they have
very,
the stadiums for it too.
Yeah. Like I can't even think where we would do that in America.
Well, the America they tear too up hard. The tracks and then it's a football stadium, whereas like they still have soccer football in the stadium at the Zurich one, but they just have the track there and they move everything closer. So maybe they just need to keep the tracks and then maybe they can, I don't know. It's Grand Slam track maybe can do it. Who knows? Maybe Merba can do it. Membrane can pull it off. We'll see.
Good luck to him.
Good luck to him. Bloody good luck to him.
Yep. But so the big Brussels Diamond League final, we have Olive representing the Coffee Club podcast and then also Yard in the same event. And then Olivia ended up qualifying for the steeplechase, which we're all very happy to see. She only competed in one during the season, Paris, where she came fourth, and that ended up being enough, which she was really unlucky to not get a start in, I think it was Rome. She didn't get into it, and she's in like amazing form right now. So it's so good that she is able to end what's been such a long, amazing season for her at the Diamond League final with another steeplechase while she's in such good form. And then we also have Sergei out there competing in the 5K. She was in the Zurich 5K as well, where she did pretty well, but that looked like a real tough race out there. But she did hang tough, and I think she ended up coming third. So she did pretty well.
She was also a little sick as well.
Oh yeah, she was.
She was sick, had a bit of a headache. It was also they went out crazy hard too.
Trying to break the world record.
Didn't she win by like 30 seconds or something?
Trying to break the world record, yeah. The weather was actually quite good. I mean, it was odd because then the 200 was super quick. And then everyone was expecting, okay, the 1500 is going to be super quick, but it was like moderately quick. 329 still very quick, but like not like 327 or 328, which has been the past few Diamond Leagues. And then the 5K was super quick. So it was a great night for track and field. I mean, Zurich's just such a good meet. It's such a good meet. They do such a good job here. So
yeah.
Morg, how close was your 1 point to qualifying you for the 5K?
I didn't even check. Yeah, the start list out yet. I don't know if they are, but I didn't check in on that. We'll find out.
I don't know either.
We'll find out. I might have to make a trip to Brussels, actually. And
just change your flight from Italy to Brussels.
Yeah. Hop in there. That would be unreal. Oh, I can't think of anything worse than
that'd be nice. I'd have a roommate.
Hopping in that race right now.
It's all right. We can suffer together. I want a roommate.
All right, I'll do it. If I get in, I'll
shout
do
out
it.
To my roommate in Zurich, Robert Falcon.
Yo, shout out Robert Falcon.
So, sounds good.
So,
shout out Robert Falcon. Had a great race. He was my roommate.
He did well. Do we want to talk about Fifth Ave?
Yeah. So Josh Kerr, the greatest American miler of all time? Question mark. Although Yaro's run quicker than him on the track, but it doesn't sound pretty bad. Apparently, allegedly, there was a massive tailwind that helped. But I'd say if he's running 3:44, he's probably running like 3:45, 3:46. If he's got help with the downhill and the wind, but he kind of just destroyed it. It was shout out to the American guy who got second. I keep forgetting his name. That's my bad. But I was Howie, yeah, that was sick. And then I feel like the race was pretty spread out from there. It was like massive Josh, massive gap, and then it was like kind of like all spread out.
Josh was kind of tactical with it in a way. He literally, now you can see, he waited for the people to make their sprint for the 800-meter bonus, which, wait, who got it? Was it Holt the Bolt or did he just miss it? Did he get it?
I'm not sure if he got it or not. I think
the Irish guy got it.
Oh, yeah, was it Cahal? Cahal.
Wasn't it? I think the Irish guy.
Oh, Doyle?
Yeah. Yeah, it was him.
I think so. They were like,
yeah,
they were like kicking. They were kicking hard for it.
Yeah. And then as soon as everyone made their slowdown after that was when Kurt decided to just take off. And he was going so hard. That whole last 800, like from 800, he took it up a notch. And then with 400 to go, he took it up another notch and just dusted it, breaking a 40-year course record or something from Sydney Marie, legendary runner. So kind of crazy, but very, very cool that he got that done. And then Carissa Swijzer on the women's side won, and also she tied the course record, I believe. So, yeah, definitely a fast day on
Fifth Ave. Carissa Schweppes.
Schweppesies. And then we also had Tom Wang out there representing
the podcast. She owns the podcast. Yeah, T Wang.
508 mile, not bad.
3:43 from T Wang.
The real winner.
I heard it was 3:43 media assisted.
Yeah. So
with media assistance, you get a bit of a buffer on the time. So he actually ran 3:43. So second faster than Josh.
Ollie, we have to know whether you received an offer to race it for Theb instead of Brussels.
Oh, I didn't check my emails actually. I should check that.
He just has a $10,000 offer in his junk emails. He's like, oh, actually,
I was sad. Shit. I should have taken it.
Oh, I think Ray or Matt texted me about it, but I was already confirmed for Brussels. So,
yeah, I was just trying to check if.
I mean, I wouldn't have gotten much. I mean, I think that type of race, I think I would have done very well at, because I'm pretty fit and it's not the same as like you just run a straight line. I think that would have been good for my mental. I would have just went. But yeah. No offers here. No offers here. I'm still waiting for my offer from Porsche. I haven't responded to my email yet.
You sent them an email.
For what?
I sent them an email saying like, hey, could we do a Porsche dealership deal? But like I put Yared's name in it. And then I said, he wants me to do the deal, but you guys just do it with his name. So I can like get a Porsche.
You're cheating on Tesla, man. Dude, I don't know if Elon's gonna be. Email. Elon may not be happy about that.
Dude, I was actually when I was back in Boulder for like a week. I saw a all black Tesla parked in front of Dish, the sandwich shop that's near my house. And dude, it's honestly pretty cool. It is pretty cool. It looks ridiculous, but it's pretty cool. There's no way you could park it anywhere, but. I like had a look in the inside. The guy opened the door and like I checked it out. It looks like a spaceship. Like it literally looks like it's a prop for like a spaceship movie. Like it looks like it should be in Halo.
Like you gotta get that.
It's insane. It's ridiculous. No, I'm saving up. I'm saving up, bro. Saving me dimes, me pennies, me pounds.
Smart.
I think the thing that looks really cool on it is the steering wheel. Is like that steering wheel where you just turn it like this, and the whole truck turns. One. Like yeah, you barely, one. But you barely move it, and it turns the whole car. Like you don't have to like, I don't know, it's some like new steering technology. Like that looks crazy. Everything else about it's kind of weird.
Also, shout out to you two. I want to do some homework because usually I give you like a Mountain Dew or something to drink. But this year, you have to watch Monkey Man. You have to watch Monkey Man. It's like my new John Wick. It's my new Constantinople. You have to watch Monkey Man.
Anyway,
it's so like, I'm and the soundtrack is like insane. The soundtrack is insane. Oh, dude, it's such a good movie. And the problem is the actor looks so much like you, Morgan. I just thought it was Morgan the entire time. I was watching on the plane. And I was like, this is just Morgan. It's literally just Morgan. Like, the guy is literally Morgan. Because he's not like, he like gets like kind of buff, but he's just like skinny, like Morgan. And he's like fighting and shit. And oh, man, it's just Morgan. But it's just John Wick Morgan. But it's like an epic movie. It's like the story's really good and the soundtrack's sick. There's one song from it that I love. But it's pretty epic. Also, I got a text from Dathan because he can hear me. The team's eating fried rice cooked by Yared in the other room. Dathan texts, get me a screenshot of how fat George is after 5 weeks off.
No. Did not say
As
that.
I can see, George looks pretty good. Yeah, he did. I'm going to take a photo, but George looks pretty good.
Dathan's getting canceled for that one.
Oh, there we go. Look at that. That's for the crowd too.
Yeah,
I think Dathan's just being cheeky about it, but he's like, "Oh, George, he's taking that time off. He's gonna be have to get in the boost back in training." I was like, "Dude, George's like got the physique of David. You'd be fine."
Dathan's never
taken. You have to worry about
Dathan's never taken 4 weeks off in his life, so he doesn't understand that like you can still stay like relatively fit if you don't run for 4 weeks if you just live an active normal
lifestyle.
Particularly
if you don't drink beer. Yeah. Active normal life. Don't drink too much beer and you eat pretty well, which George does. Plus, like from what I saw, George was doing a lot of stuff, pretty active. So
I do need like
jumping off shit.
I do need like an alcohol detox. Like not I wasn't getting drunk ever, but in Europe, just like the drinks with meals is just like twice a day, every day for like 5 weeks.
All right,
just
cowboy.
Like water.
Well, just like water. Just like. Yes, it is.
Dude,
there's no water.
After my Brussels race.
Oh, I had a Guinness
it's
watching
just water.
The All Blacks.
Aperol spritz.
I was having a Guinness watching the All Blacks play the other day at Irish Pub Stand. That was a lot of fun too. But yeah, that'd you can awesome. Buy water or you can just buy like an Aperol spritz. Or I don't want to talk about it.
Sorry. Oh, dude, come on, man. You guys have been good for so long.
Sorry.
How do you actually, have you been following that? You actually know?
I watched the highlights. I don't know why.
I was following it.
Third time in a row?
It was on my dad's birthday. It was on Saturday too in Amsterdam, which was really cool to like spend dad's birthday with him. But we were watching the rugby on his birthday, like before we went out for dinner. And yeah, sadly we lost to South Africa again this year. They are the best team in the world at the moment.
Guess who you're playing in 2 weeks?
The All Blacks are not as good as they were a couple of years ago.
Guess who you're playing in 2 weeks, George?
South Africa's fucking good. Yeah, we have two games versus Australia in a row.
You're playing Australia in 2 weeks, baby. We're going to do it, Morgs. It's
did
coming home.
Did you see
all Blacks
the
are nothing
in
now?
In
we have
the
an
Australia
All Blacks
game, though? Against Argentina?
Versus Argentina?
Yeah.
Didn't what they score 70 points on us?
Yeah, they destroyed us. I'm pretty
sure.
They
scored like
70
points against us.
We
got killed.
Where is it? The funny thing is, I'm pretty sure New Zealand also killed Argentina, like destroyed Argentina as well. So we're going to be in for 67-27.
That's a lot of points.
Oh, wait, no. We won by 1 point on the 1st of September. And then we got smashed by them on the week later. 67-27.
Biggest test defeat.
I mean, we got smashed by South Africa as well. 33-7. We beat Wales.
Got to work twice. On our defense.
We beat Portugal. We smashed Portugal. We smashed Georgia.
Take that.
Yeah, right. We're not doing that well because Fiji beat us. France destroyed us. New Zealand just beat us.
Damn it.
Yeah, honestly.
What were we talking about?
We'll figure it out. I don't know.
Probably running or something.
Now. But anyway.
Anyway. I think
something to do with running.
I think now is probably a decent
we're
time.
About
oh yeah,
should we?
No.
Yeah,
I could get on a. I qualified for the final. I was the last person into the Dunleague final. Maybe I could get on a quick flight to Brussels right now.
Yeah, because you can be my roommate. Because Jared gets his own suite.
Does
he get his own room now? Once you get an Olympic medal,
Jared gets his own room and private transport. Yeah. And
once you get an Olympic medal,
yeah, private room, own transport, and he can he gets it once every Diamond League circuit, but he can kick someone out of the Diamond League if he wants to.
Wow,
what?
Just kick him out of the program. Yeah, they said that he gets one. So if he didn't want Jakob in the Eugene one, he can just kick him out.
In your own
that's
event,
so that's so fun.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, yeah, your own
event, definitely.
Yeah.
No, you can kick anyone out.
Like someone else's event, you'd be like, ah, no, I don't want.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want no allowance.
Like the long jump or something. He's like, yeah, I don't want this guy kicking out.
It's great.
That'd be clowning.
That's motivation to medal.
No, he just gets his own. He gets his own room. He gets his own room.
That's sick.
Yeah, which you should honestly.
Well,
that and
hey, best of luck to you guys over in Brussels.
Yard.
Let's finish off the season strong, huh?
Thank you.
Let's just go out there and
yeah, and then we'll then the rest of the podcast that we do every week, we can just talk about the gala.
Yeah, we can start that build up. We
like
gotta
gala
start
season.
Soon.
It's gala season. We start talking about the gala. It's like The Bachelor for us. We gotta start talking about it. We gotta hype it up way too much.
That's it.
Jordy's already just putting thoughts in his head.
Brainstorm it.
Brainstorming.
As we round up, cheeky little shout out to Sage PB in Zagreb 157, a huge run out there, which was awesome to see. And Olivia also PB in the 1500, and Cinta won the race, dropping another 358. So it was a really awesome meet for the women. So shout out to them. Just didn't want to leave them behind. But
358 is easy for Cinta now.
Yeah, just chilling. She's crushing it. So good. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for today. Best of luck to the squad in Brussels. And once again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the Coffee Club podcast. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye.